This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
All right, well, here we sit again. Paul Perillo. I'm Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly. Another Friday.
This is it, Eric. This is the last.
You promise?
Last podcast.
I'm going to hold you
till the lockout's this. Over.
I'm going to hold you to this. But what an interesting night last night was. This is we're at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday as we're recording this, so there could be other developments by the time you download this podcast and are listening to it. But as of 2 o'clock on Friday, we just went through perhaps the last 36 hours worth of surreal events in the NFL regarding the negotiations, the roller coaster of emotions with pessimism turning into optimism, which went back down to pessimism pretty quickly. I don't know where things stand. I don't know what to think at this point, Paul. All I know is that there's a lot of information out there, not all of it completely accurate. But what we do know is that the 32 owners voted on Thursday, late Thursday, to approve the agreement. The vote was 31-0 with one abstention. Guess who that was, Paul?
The Oakland Raiders.
Yes, sir. And there was much joy in Mudville for a little while.
For about a half an hour.
With people thinking, because they issued a timeline of events that would happen over the next week and when things would begin and procedures that would be in place and how the structure of training camp in the league year would unfold. And the players pulled out their number 2 Ticonderoga pencil, put it between their thumb and index finger like Lee Corso, and said, "Not so fast, my friend." Because all of the excitement over the vote by the owners was contingent upon the players ratifying the agreement themselves. And like I said, as of 2 o'clock on Friday, they've yet to do so.
Yeah, and the players felt that there were some elements to the proposal that the owners agreed to that weren't necessarily part of the agreement that the two sides had had prior to that meeting among the owners.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to sort of review it a little bit and make sure that all the elements were up to speed on everything before they agreed to anything. And of particular, I think, contention to the players was the contingent that the owners made, saying that they had this whole timeline brought out, and Eric will get to that in a moment. But basically, they needed this ratification process to be done and a recertification of the union on the part of the players by Tuesday. And the players didn't feel comfortable with having to agree to do all of that before the lockout were to be lifted. They wanted the lockout lifted first, because obviously the players would lose their power if they recertified and the lockout wasn't lifted yet and ultimately didn't end up getting lifted. So the lack of trust on both sides is still very evident here, and that's why it's not quite done yet. I do believe all of the parameters are there for a deal. We've now seen multiple detailed reports of what the CBA is and will look like, and most of the things and the elements are things that we've talked about in recent editions of PFW in Progress, and even here on our Roster Report podcast. You know, 4-year unrestricted free agency. The cap is going to be in the neighborhood of $120 million. There's going to be some provisions for maybe to draw a little bit extra on that. The basement, the bottom of the cap is going to rise. You're going to have to spend 99% of the cap in the first 2 years, 95% going forward, and 89% cash. So you can't just have all these different bookkeeping mechanisms to make it look like you're spending more money than you are. So all of these things are in place, which tells me, Eric, it's going to get done.
Right.
It's a matter of when the players can get comfortable with their recertification process and the timeline for that. And I would expect sometime before the end of this weekend it's probably going to be done.
Right. There's that. And there are a lot of little issues, well, seemingly little issues, that when you put them all together amount to a pretty big stumbling block as far as getting it done in time to meet the deadlines that the league sort of put out there a little prematurely. One of them is the length of the deal. Everyone's saying 10 years, and they're assuming it's going to be 10 years, but there's a little bit of a movement out there for it to be what was originally reported as a 7-year deal.
Well, the players want an opt-out. That is an element.
After 7 years.
That's an element that I think wasn't part of the proposal the owners voted on,
mm-hmm.
that the players had agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like you said, it may seem like small things, but the players are looking at it as, well, this is something that we wanted, and it's not there. So they want an opt-out after 7 years.
Right. And if you're going to enter into a long-term agreement, whether it's 7 years, 10 years, whatever it ultimately is, when you get down to the finer details at the end here, like we appear to be, the last thing you want to do is get sloppy at this point and let little things that could turn into bigger issues down the road slip by just because you're tired and frustrated and you just want it to be over with. Now is the time to pay that close attention, and I think that's what the players are doing and are being advised to do. And I don't fault them for that because, like I said, if you or I were entering into long-term contracts with our employers, we would want the same thing.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think it was the latest attempt by the owners to sort of try to apply extra pressure on the players.
In the court of public opinion.
Yeah. And I think, once again, the players are proving to be a little bit more formidable in that arena,
mm-hmm.
than I think the owners had envisioned.
A couple of other things we know for sure that we can get to before we continue to speculate a little bit more. After the vote was taken Thursday, the Hall of Fame in Canton issued a release saying that the Hall of Fame game, the preseason opener, the traditional preseason opener, had officially been canceled.
No surprise there.
No surprise there, but it had been a format.
Absolutely.
It had been speculated upon, and the later we got in this
process.
Will
they push it back a day? Can they do it with 2 or 3 days, 4 days of practice?
It just seemed implausible, impractical, and I think the Hall finally came to their senses, the league, everybody finally came to their senses and said, let's do away with that. Now, we've been seeing some reports today about further details about this agreement. You had retweeted earlier something from NFL Network saying that...
I don't know. I might have hit the wrong button.
You might have. You're still getting used to this whole Twitter thing.
It's just changes.
You can't even get your picture changed up there without it being a three-ring circus.
It still looks like an egg.
One of the things players were pushing for was increased safety issues, and one of them being the amount of hitting and that's done in practices and the number of padded practices. Report now that padded practices would be limited to 14 total in the regular season, and 11 of them had to come within the first 11 weeks of the season. 1 week in the postseason and a total of 9 in the offseason. And we talked about this before we got on the air. That would be predominantly training camp for most teams.
It just doesn't seem like that many practices in training camp, I'll tell you that. I mean, the regular season, there are times when I don't think they do a whole lot of hitting, whether they're wearing full pads or not.
Mm-hmm.
But during training camp, 9 seems like an incredibly small amount of full pads practices.
Yeah, and barely 3 a week if you take training camp at its, in its strictest form, where it's not the entire preseason. Training camp technically only lasts about 2.5 weeks, really.
Yeah, now camp for them, you're right, because camp for them is even longer.
Right.
In other words, the public and the media is not allowed to go to the full practices
after a couple of
weeks. And it's still considered training camp for the players.
For them, it is, yeah.
So you're right, Eric. It's really not a lot of practices at all.
No. We also were given released a statement today by the NFLPA, Kevin Mawai, the representative. As you know, many of you know who are listening, Patriots owner Robert Kraft's wife, Myra, passed away the other day. Services were held for her earlier today. And while that was happening, the NFLPA released a statement saying player leadership is discussing the most recent written proposal with the NFL, which includes a settlement agreement, deal terms, and the right to process, and the right process for addressing recertification. There will not be any further NFLPA statements today out of respect for the Kraft family while they mourn the loss of Myra Kraft. Now, some in the media were led to speculate what this statement means. Does it mean there won't be a vote today by the players? Or will it just mean that there won't be any announcement of anything that happens? Or will there just not be any business at all?
Yeah. And we don't know the answer.
We don't know the answer to that. My guess would be that out of respect for the family, they would not do anything today.
Yeah, now they could vote, but I don't think they're going to say anything about it.
Right.
I really believe that they're not going to make any kind of statement like that today after issuing. And Kevin Mawai is the one who issued that statement. So I guess there's a possibility still that they could vote today. But I don't know if we'll hear about it either way. So we'll have to just kind of wait and see. I don't think that really clears anything up more for us or less.
And before we go, let's just quickly review the timeline we were talking about earlier. When the owners voted, the NFL Labor blog, which has been going on throughout the offseason, issued this lengthy schedule of events, assuming that the players would approve it, recertify, and do everything in time. The original idea was to have players come in on Saturday, the 23rd.
Correct.
For procedural stuff, exams, light training, meetings, all that stuff. And then by 2 o'clock on Wednesday, the 27th, the league year would begin. Training camps would open for all the teams.
Right.
Free agency would open.
And during that period, teams would be allowed to begin the process of signing their own rookies and talking to their own free agents in an effort to sign them, and even talking to free agents, although you couldn't sign free agents yet, unrestricted free agents, but almost like legalized tampering,
you could begin a dialogue.
You could begin your conversations with free agents, and as Eric said, the league year was to begin at 2 p.m. On Wednesday the 27th. That, at the very least, the beginning of that timetable has already been altered. Mm-hmm. Even if some sort of agreement were to be made today,
Friday.
And the players ratified the deal.
If everything was done today,
the facilities will not open until Sunday at the earliest.
Right.
So my guess, you're probably going to see that pushed back into the beginning of next week.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, as a point of reference, I would guess that you could push everything back at least 24 hours from that timetable that they issued yesterday.
Right. So
on Thursday.
I should say. So best case scenario, optimists, rose-colored glasses look at this. If it all gets done this weekend, you're looking at next weekend possibly being the beginning of training camps. I think as you and I have been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, Paul, our instincts have been telling us that August 1st is a date that you might want
to
keep in mind, but it just seems
to
make sense. And you wouldn't really still have to miss anything. You know, 10 days later, you'd have the first preseason games beginning. That typically is enough time to get ready for your first preseason game.
Yeah.
And you still wouldn't have to miss anything except the Hall of Fame game. So, but again, it's there's some optimism, there's some pessimism, but until this actually gets done, until both sides are completely in agreement on what's being discussed, what's being voted on, it's still up in the air, Paul.
Yeah, and we'll do our best to update. And you know, obviously, we are not the national media. We are not in these meetings at these sites all over the country. You know, yesterday there was meetings in Atlanta, there were meetings in Washington, but we are going to do our best to update the website and the blog, and we're on Twitter. Follow us, and we'll see if how much of this stuff that we can keep track of, and we'll do our best to keep you informed.
All right. Well, you promised at the beginning of this podcast that this was the last one. The last one that we're going to have to talk about lockouts and labor.
This is the last one.
You sure?
I've already declared a last one before. I know I did. So this is the final last
time you're going to promise this. So next week when we do a roster report, we won't be talking about labor issues. All right. I'm going to hold you to that promise, Paul. So enjoy this last full weekend of summer, for us at least. And we'll talk to you next week. Hopefully not about labor.